welcome to an NL Full Time podcast special. I'm Rob Worrell. It's England sea time again, and we've travelled to the very north of Wales to see England sea a couple of years ago, and the least said about that one, the better. Last year, of course, Paul Fairclough and Mick Payne's side played at home to Wales at Altrincham, and Ryan de Havilland's goal from the then Barnet player, now playing for Peterborough in League One and could well be a Championship player next season, was the difference between the two sides. So now we've come to the other end of Wales, Swansea, or in actual fact Llanelli, just 10 miles or so outside of Swansea, and that's where this midweek England will take on Wales C again. I've got alongside me Joe Pope. Joe, your second England C game and your first away one.
Yeah, first away one. Hopefully we can follow up the win last year in Altrincham with another win against the Welsh this year.
I've been very lucky to go to some lovely places to see England C play, probably the best of which was Tallinn, Estonia, but Swansea, very much a different kettle of fish, still nice in its own way, and we had a good walk through the centre earlier, and the weather's been relatively kind to us, although it looks a little bit mixed for the next couple of days. At the England training camp, ahead of the fixture, we caught up with the England C management team of Paul Fairclough and Mick Payne. Absolutely delighted and so honoured to be sat here again. Might be about the fifth or sixth time now for me, but it's a lot more for them. Sat with the England C manager, Paul Fairclough, and assistant manager, Mick Payne. I've got Joe Pope from the podcast alongside me as well. Paul, first of all, congratulations on another year in charge of England C. And I think we were just saying off air, it's a bug that gripped you many years ago, and you love it, don't you?
Absolutely, yeah. It's got a Svengali hold on me for sure, and I can't have enough of it. I just want more games. You know, that's the bottom line. You know, I'm starved of international football matches. You know, we were having three, maybe four a year at one stage. Now we're down to one, but we have got, which I'm sure we'll talk about later, another one in the confirmed already.
Yeah, that's fantastic news. And Mick, you and Paul have been doing this for how many years now?
Well, I say over 20 years. I'm absolutely delighted, Rob, you know, to be alongside Paul. It's been an honour, a privilege. You know, every time we meet up, you know, we do a lot of things behind the scenes, as you know. But each time we come up here, it's just so exciting, and so exciting to be amongst, you know, really good international players.
And countless games over the years, but all sorts of numbers and stats we could pull. But one that we just talked about off air, absolutely incredible. The number of players that have gone on from this league to play in the EFL, and it's over 300, I believe.
Yeah, of players who've actually put on an England C shirt in both Mick and I's tenure, is 307 players have come through with an England shirt and gone on to play either in the Scottish Premier League, the EFL, or in fact the Premier League now.
Yeah, fantastic. You've had different criteria. This game we're speaking in Swansea, just up the road from Llanelli in Wales, and this has been a regular fixture. But I hear there's a trophy at stake this year, Paul.
Yeah, there is a trophy at stake for the first time. Mm. I'm not completely sure of the whole details, but it was a member of the FA, who was a Welshman, Mr. Harris, who sadly passed away, and this is dedicated to him. Yeah. So, yeah, there's a trophy at stake, which gives a little bit more of a bite to the game. I mean, if this game needed any more bite, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But it's quite a ferocious affair when this game kicks off.
Yeah, it always is, isn't it? You've used different criteria over the years, and I guess one of the more exciting things about it these days is that, you know, there's been times when it's been under a certain age or whatever. You've had a slightly freer hand this time, and it looks a tighter age group in terms of there's an awful lot in there, 24, 25, 26, 27, almost kind of at their peak.
Yeah, I mean, what we've done really, I mean, It's a difficult period when this this fixture is played, and we are we're going to review it, the date that it's actually played, in the future, because it's the business end of the season, and you've got an exceptional circumstance going on in the National League at the moment. The Lions, you take the top 11, they can all make the playoffs. The bottom 11 can all be relegated. So it's unprecedented. And so because of that, I decided that I'm going to create a one player per club rule. And then, you know, clubs can see that that's being very fair. You know, I could take three from Chesterfield and three from Barnet, and but that wouldn't have been the right thing to do. So I've used one player per club. In fact, the whole squad and the contingency squad of 24 was made up of 24 different teams. So no one's really had an issue, a complaint about it. I mean, our problem this year has been injuries.
Absolutely. Just looking at one or two of the players individually in the squad, we can't talk about them all in this chat, but picking one from each part of the pitch, I'm going to start, Mick, with the goalkeepers. You've pulled in the experience of Elliot Justin from Dagenham, who's someone you keep a close eye on regularly. And the other lad, wow, he's a revelation, isn't he? From a sporting family, they play cricket and football. His sister plays for England, Georgia Stanway, but you've got Will Stanway with you as well.
Yeah, I mean, what an exciting time for that young man, you know, to be called up playing in the National League North. So, but he's done exceptionally well. We know, again, we've done our homework on him. We've had him looked at. Great sort of credentials coming through. Many a clean sheet. I think he had one again on Saturday. So, look, he's going to learn a lot by being here alongside Elliot Justin. You know, you mentioned about Elliot, and he's someone who's, I know very, very well indeed, but top, top professional, many, many games under his belt. And, it's a good mix. You know, you've got a senior goalkeeper, you've got a younger goalkeeper who's still learning a trade as such. But, so they're two top goalkeepers who are going to hopefully represent England C very, very well on the night.
And in addition to that, on Saturday, it was the match of the clean sheets on Saturday, Chester versus Tamworth. We brought in Singh from Tamworth late on in the contingency squad. And it was a case of them both keeping another clean sheet each. So.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, Jaz Singh's record, isn't it? I think no goals in January, one in February. Conceded.
So, you know, we're just delighted to have those players around. You know, there's such a lot of good goalkeeping talent. You know, the boy Kenworthy, who's in the contingency squad, he's had a remarkable season, you know, overall. But that game on Saturday made me chuckle to see those two lining up with each other and both keeping the clean sheet.
Well, we'll come back and see at the other end of the pitch who scored. I know at least one of them did. Joe, one of your favourite players in the National League has been picked and picked again.
Yeah, obviously you've called up Gus Scott-Morris again. He was here last year at Altrincham. How important is his experience of having been in England C before for a backline that's not had that much experience?
Yeah, I mean, it's apart from Gus, it's a completely new team, as it invariably is. You know, the days when we used to play in the Four Nations tournament, you'd have the group of 16 players together for 5-6 days. But to an annual event, it shows you the consistency of Gus, that he's retained his position. Of all the opposition that's out there, he's retained his position as fullback, if he starts. And he's just been he's just life and soul when he's here. He's got a smiley face, you know, he's got this attitude of seriousness and this will and desire to win. So, you know, we're blessed with having someone like Gus in the side.
One of the most precocious young talents in the National League is undoubtedly Rhys Smith, who's the sort of player, with the greatest respect to him and to Maidenhead, you wouldn't expect to see in the Maidenhead United team. But Alan Devonshire knows exactly what he can bring to that team, and I think he's into double figures for the season from midfield.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched Rhys now for a couple of years, and he's got better and better. There's still a lot of learning to take place. There really is an understanding of the game. He's very good at finding this. He likes to play in the pocket where he has the opportunity to run at the opposition. And at the moment, he's finding those opportunities, but he's got to learn how to increase the number of times that that occurs on a football pitch. Mm. And that'll come with coaching and a little bit more experience, but he's a dangerous lad. When he's running at you, I wouldn't like to be a defender.
Up front, you've got an array of riches, really, haven't you? Manny Dixon-Ruwe, who's been in the last two seasons at Halifax and now at Hartlepool, the most prolific he's been in his career. Callum Stead, well into double figures at your old club, Barnet. And then you've got the two big juggernauts, really, both into 30-something goals in March. Paul McCallum, who everybody knows about, of course, and someone a few less people might know about, Ollie Pearce down at Worthing.
Well, as I said, Paul, has spoke to me many times and said, who are we going to bring in? And as I said, it's an abundance of top strikers, no doubt about that. And you just called it, Rob, in terms of the goal ratio that they bring. It's exciting. We were speaking earlier on the bus today, and we just said, in terms of our goal threat, we've got, players there who can be a real... just going to be top players for us in terms of hopefully getting a result tonight.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. And we're really excited that there will be another game as well in a couple of months' time on Easter Monday at the EBB Stadium, home of Aldershot, against Nepal, of course, where you've got good links there as well.
Yeah, I mean, and Nepal are treating this as a very serious event, and so are the FA. On one level... Nepal, they're using this as a warm-up game for their World Cup. It's part of their preparations, and in terms of the FA, it's an historical event. It was an historical event when the England C team went out to the Falkland Islands, and indeed when we went out to Syria, places like this. Now, to get a visit from Nepal, which would have happened much earlier had COVID not stepped in. And it'll cause a lot of attraction, and we're expecting a big crowd. We think we'll get 7,000 down there at Aldershot. Wow. And it's just a really fantastic occasion, an important occasion for the FA, England C, and indeed the country, to welcome a group of players and diplomats from Nepal.
Well, chaps, enjoy your training camp, your brief training camp that you got before the game, and we'll see you at Nestle's ground tomorrow.
As an Aldershot Town fan myself, we've got quite a proud record with England C. Obviously, last year, an England player captained the side. And I believe, and somebody correct me on this if I'm wrong, that Jake Gallagher is the joint most England C caps that anybody's had. Many of those, of course, during his time with Aldershot. Delighted to say that this year is a really deserving player that's been given the honour of being picked by England C, because he's played every minute of every game in a season in which Aldershot Town, in everybody's opinion, really have massively overachieved to be sat in a playoff position with just seven games to go. And delighted to say that at the hotel, Joe and myself caught up with Ollie Harfield. Ollie, we sat here in Swansea. All things being well, you're going to make your England C debut tomorrough for Paul Fairclough and Mick Payne's side. Just take us back, if you can, initially to when you heard the news.
Yeah, it was back in training. We finished training and Tommy, the gaffer, got the boys in and just announced that I'd been selected for England C. It was a proud moment, and yeah, I'm delighted to be here.
Yeah, good stuff. You've had a cracking season. I think it's every minute of every game. I mean, that run will have to come to an end at some point, but what a season it's been for you personally and for the boys around you, where Tommy's come in and pretty much changed everything.
Yeah, it's been brilliant since he's come in. He's changed, the whole dynamic of the club, the fans, the players, the staff, everyone's going in the same direction. I've been really lucky injury-wise this year to play every minute. Yeah, it's fun every time we go out on the pitch. Everyone's enjoying themselves, smile on their face, and it's a pleasure to be a part of.
Now, I've seen you play against Aldershot before at left back or left wing back, but you've got another position in your locker now, haven't you? Did you see that one coming? And how did you find it adapting? Because to me, it looked almost instant.
Yeah, it's funny actually, because the day before, obviously we do shape the day before, and I was put in the left centre back position. And to be honest, I was like, "What's going on here?" Like, I wasn't happy. I was moaning to the boys about the gaffer, saying, "Why is he putting me here?" But no, honestly, it's my favourite position I've ever played. I think it suits me perfectly. I can still put balls in and attack up the pitch, and I'm lucky enough to have the pace to, you know, defend balls in behind. So no, it's worked really well, and I thank the gaffer for that.
You got a tremendous relationship on that left flank with Ryan Glover, interchanging positions. You seem to know what each other's doing. They talk about the telepathy of Stokes and Tolhedge, but I don't think it's as good as yours and Ryan's. That relationship goes back quite a way, doesn't it? All the way back to Bournemouth, or?
Yeah, I think that's a massive impact on us. You know, we grew up playing that way with overlaps, underlaps, you know, attacking plays. So luckily, I'm left-footed, he's right-footed. So, you know, we've got both sides of the pitch. He cuts in and I can take out wide. So, no, he's brilliant to play with. And, yeah, I think we're just getting better and better as the games go on.
Now, on my train journey here, I thought I'd better have a look up and just remind myself the other teams you've played for. And I think you're closing in, probably into next season before you play 100 games for Aldershot, but a couple of hundred games all told. And I spotted something that I've never seen before against Ollie Harfield, a goal when you were at Dagenham. Is that the only competitive goal you've scored, or have they missed something out on Wikipedia?
No, unfortunately, the one thing Wikipedia has got right is the goals. it's crazy. Like, I'd never seem to get in the position to score. I actually scored that goal playing centre mid, actually, at Dagenham, so that was against Eastleigh. But yeah, I've always been known as sort of someone that gets assists rather than goals, but hopefully the goal will come one day.
Absolutely that, yeah. In double figures again for assists this season with Aldershot. And I can, whilst I couldn't tell you who the opposition was, well, I can remember a couple of times you have gone close this season. Who knows, you know, you might be one for one with England C by the time this goes out. But, Ollie, I can't let you go without talking about the season ahead. 7 games left for Aldershot Town now. Clearly now, a desire to get into those playoffs. And if you can possibly avoid saying one game at a time, how are you looking at the remainder of the season?
Yeah, I think the gaffer will kill me if he hears anything else other than one game at a time. But, yeah, 7 big games to go, and we know we're well in the race now. So as long as we can keep up the same sort of form that we've been having in the last couple of weeks, I think we'll be there or thereabouts.
What do you make of the playoff format these days? Because, you know, we don't have to talk about targets and positions or whatever, but we know that every position further you can climb up that table gives you a little bit closer advantage to Wembley, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think we said at the start of the season we'd be in the race in March. We'd have took it all day long, but now we've been there and we've been there for a while. I think to go for the higher places and hopefully get a home game, if we can get in there, it is going to be massive for us, seeing our home form. So that's definitely the target.
I'm joined by Dan Pybus, who's representing Dorking Wanderers with the England C camp. Congratulations, Dan. Where were you when you found out the news?
Yeah, appreciate that. I first found out on the bus. I thought the gaff was having a bit of banter with me, and then he kept bantering on all night. It was a way to Altrincham. Unfortunately we didn't win, but yeah, he gave me the proper news the next day, and that's when I believed him.
Yeah. And how have the lads been about it? I know they were giving you a bit of banter about the cracking goal you'd scored against Chesterfield, but every goal's a goal, right, Dan?
Every goal's a goal. I mean, the gaffer's told me that since I've joined Dorking, I pass forward, I've had an England call up, and I score goals now. So, I mean, I think I've got the gaffer to thank, haven't I? The lads have been hammering me about it, really, and so has the gaffer, but I think that's the way he is. So, yeah, you've got to take it on the chin.
I wasn't sure if you were the first Dorking Wanderers player to represent England C, but apparently Sam Beard did when he was on loan at Barnet. So the first active current Dorking Wanderers player to represent England C. We're catching up pre-match here in Wales. How much are you looking forward to the occasion tonight?
No, definitely. Obviously, I want to do myself proud, but you want to do your club proud as well, because I'm representing them at the end of the day as well as myself. And I think, yeah, no matter what level of football you play at, if you can get a call-up like this or anything like this, it's an achievement. I've got to take a lot of positives from it, but I'm also looking forward to getting back to Dorking and finishing the season strong.
A little birdie tells me it's not your first England involvement.
No, I was fortunate enough to play in the youth setup. I've got 5 caps coming up at 16s and 17s level for England. So, yeah, it's obviously a privilege at whatever level you are or at to get called up. But, yeah, I'm happy, yeah.
You're a northeast lad, aren't you? And, of course, Dorking's a long way from there. But you've been further from home in your time, haven't you? You've been up to Scotland for 2-3 years and also out to Norway?
Yeah, obviously Dorking's not round the corner from home, but I have travelled a bit. I've been in Scotland, in Norway. Mark the gaffer does hammer me about it, says I've had far too many clubs. but hopefully I can stay at Dorking for a long time. And yeah, I'm really enjoying my time down south.
And we were just talking off air. I know your mum's made the trip down from the northeast, and your father's away, I think, isn't he?
Yeah, my dad, he's always away abroad. But my mum's here. She's travelled down, got a flight this morning, then hired a car and got here. So, no, they're the little things in life which matter when your family come and watch you, and that's what's most important in life as well. So, yeah, I'm a happy guy.
So Joe and I are at the ground now, ahead of the Ing match. And to be honest, we just signed in and we recognised a fella alongside us. He's got a bit of history in this fixture. Now, regular listeners will know that Will Evans is a friend of the podcast, but that's the guy who was at Boreham Wood now at Scunthorpe. We've got the other Will Evans, the far more successful Will Evans. I believe you're playing for Newport County these days, and you've got fond memories, Will, of this fixture, haven't you?
Yeah, this was 2 years ago, and I stepped foot up in Carnarvon, up in North Wales. And yeah, we were just talking then before. It was just a bit of a mad game. We scored 4 goals in the first half, and luckily enough, I come away with 2 of them.
Just remind me, who were you playing for as a club at the time?
I was with Ballantyne at the time. So the year before I was with Cardiff Met, got called up to the squad, but it got called off because of COVID. Following year, I signed with Ballantyne, got the call up from there, and as I say, the rest is history.
Yeah, on that night, as I say, Wales had a fantastic first half, kept hitting England on the transition, and in the second half there, you know, the game itself kind of faded away, but the result was secured for Wales, wasn't it? Tell us a little bit about this ground. This will be a ground that you've played on in your time, I'm sure, or not?
Yeah, I've only played on this ground once, actually, and it was in a youth team game, and I was playing centre-half back then. So, yeah, I've not actually played on this ground, but I used to have friends who played for Finnethley, and I know it's a good grind. Always, it's well known in this area for being a good grind. So that may suit the England team. Recognised a couple of lads in that squad, played against a few of them this year. So yeah, it'd be an interesting game, I believe.
Yeah, I think over 300 players that have come through England here have progressed on to the Football League or even the Premiership in one or two cases. Is that something that's gradually being replicated by players from the Welsh leagues as well? It's improving year by year, isn't it?
100%, it's definitely improving. I look at myself 2 years ago, last year we signed Nathan Woods, who played in this at Newport County, and it is really a really good showcase for players to show what they've got. And as mad as it sounds, it's a one-off game, it's 90 minutes to put your stamp on a game, and you never know, some of these boys that we're looking at in the Welsh squad could hopefully follow in the steps of myself and Nathan.
And maybe we'll be cheeky enough to ask why you're here. Are you helping out with the TV coverage, or you...
Yeah, I'm actually on commentary, English commentary. I've done a couple now for the S4C team, so they asked me probably about 3 months ago if I could do it, and I said, yeah, as long as I've got a Tuesday night game, I'll be down.
So it's finally match time, and the teams are coming out here at Llanelli. Great to see that there's mascots here, almost one per player as well. Chris Bush named as the England team captain. And we're going to stand now for the national anthem.
rousing Welsh anthem as always, and the Welsh led by Clayton Green. And the skippers and the officials shake hands, and we'll shortly be underway here. 20 minutes gone, and the first key save of the match from Elliot Justin. Joe, impressive save after a very impressive run from the Welsh number 11.
Yeah, did really well. Actually got past Gus Scott-Morris quite easily, too easily, you could say, and really good save from Elliot Justin.
40 minutes in, and unfortunately for the game, really, the talk of the game is of the referee, who's given some petty fouls at one point and then not given some pretty robust ones. He didn't originally even give a foul for a coming together between Francis and
Clayton Green,
the Welsh skipper, which was really full-blooded, the sort of tackle that was allowed back in the day, but it clearly isn't anymore. And such was the reaction of everybody around him that in the end he shows a yellow card for something that wasn't even given initially as a foul. So we're into two added minutes at the end of the first half. It's still goalless. Wales have got a free kick about 28 yards out, which the number 11, help me out, is going to take.
Sean Bradley.
And really, other than that, the first half has been most memorable for the skipper of each side getting a yellow card, somewhat controversially. Up he steps, curls it in.
Oh, my word!
And it's an absolute beauty. Elliot Justin stood motionless and could only watch on helplessly as the ball curled into the back of the net. Just before half-time, Wales see one, England see nil. Joe, one of those free kicks that you just can't do much about.
No, it wasn't a free kick though. I must say, Chris Bush got the ball, but and the referee, another error, and Wales are ahead.
So half-time here in Wales, and the home side are taking the lead on right on half-time with what was a wonderful free kick, Matt Badcock of the non-league paper. As for whether it was a free kick or not, I don't know. My opinion, not. What was yours?
No, I didn't. I thought he'd won the ball, but once the referee's given it, then you could just see sort of the Welsh eyes light up and that. Bradley's just curled a beauty into the corner. In from the moment it's left his boot, Elliot Justin's got no chance of that. And yeah, right at the killer time from an England perspective, right on half time.
We were sort of chatting throughout the first half, recognising that, first of all, the elements, and second of all, the fact that the players don't really know each other, do they? They don't play together. They've had one real training session, and it's not easy, is it?
No, definitely not. I mean, it's always been one of the challenges for England. See, this year, or for the last sort of couple of years, it's always been a new group. The only player out there who's played for England C before is obviously Gus Scott-Morris. Everyone else is a first timer, and yeah, they've literally turned up at a hotel on a Sunday, had a training, probably a light session Sunday, you know, obviously it's busy games on Saturday, one session yesterday, and then some set pieces this morning. So not easy for them to kind of get into all those patterns and rhythms that they would do at their club football. It's kind of a little bit more off the cuff, but you know, they've done well in quite a few spots, England, haven't they? They've got in behind and balls across have caused a few problems, and they've had a few corners, but yeah, it's not the easiest conditions out there, as it always seems to be for these games. When they do meet, it always just hammers down for most of the game, basically.
Whilst we've got you, an incredible season as ever in the National League, but something a little bit special with what's going on with the bottom half teams. Literally half of the league still not safe from relegation, and as we speak, Chesterfield are, I don't know, a matter of hours or 24 hours or a day or a week away from wrapping up the title.
Yeah, it's been another brilliant season. You say Chesterfield just been absolutely miles ahead of everybody. I can't remember a team winning it this early, assuming that they do it, if not tonight, tomorrow night or Saturday. Yeah, they've just been a class apart the whole year, and it's all credit to them for bouncing back from last season's promotion final defeat. But at the bottom, yeah, brilliant. It's so exciting, and it's kind of, you know, everybody's gone on runs down there, and you know, filed if something got out of it, and going to get pulled back in. It's just that sort of stereotypical. Can't take your eyes off it. Division this season.
And one of the most standout facts is Eastleigh, as we speak, doing battle this evening away at Barnet. Barnet 2-1 up there at half-time, and obviously Paul McCallum here playing for England and C, which is, in some respects, you know, Eastleigh fans may find it difficult. I think Paul and Mick will be delighted that the National League have backed what they're trying to do. But I'm just wondering, we might have to get the record books out, Matt, because Eastleigh are now a couple of places, 3 points ahead of the relegation zone. I wonder if a team's ever been relegated that had a player that has scored 34 goals for them.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to look back, wouldn't it? I mean, I think that's, as you say, so exciting. You wouldn't have, not long ago, you wouldn't have really thought Eastleigh would be getting pulled into it, and now they are right into it. But yeah, McCallum's just been brilliant all year in front of goal, and that's the thing, isn't it? Does he, you know, the opportunity to play for England is such a big one, especially the way it is now, open age. You know, you wouldn't have thought a few years ago he'd get this opportunity. So obviously Callum Stead's here from Barnet as well. So yeah, Eastleigh will be hoping to turn that around in the second half for sure.
Well, thanks for your coverage of the National Leagues as well as all the other non-leagues as ever, and we look forward to seeing you again, if not before, at the playoff final and non-league finals day.
Yeah, looking forward to it, getting down to the exciting part now, aren't we? So yeah, bring on the next sort of few weeks.
So we're underway then for the second half. Just the one change for England at half time. Dan Pybus becomes the first ever Dorking Wanderers player currently playing for Dorking to play for England C, after Sam Beard had previously represented England C while he was on loan at Barnet. And Pybus has come on for Tom Conlon. England's first corner of the second half has floated in, not punched clear, headed away, headed back in. And McCallum was just shaping for the overhead kick. Probably just as well he didn't do it, otherwise he'd have took a Welsh player's head off. But England have still got the ball with Smith. Tries it into the penalty area, tight spot. Shot, oh, tipped over the bar. And Ollie Pearce very nearly scores for England. And to be quite frank about it, Joe, if he just placed the ball low, either side of the keeper, he'd have scored with ease.
Yeah, he did the hard work to get a little yard of space in the box, but didn't pick his shot and went straight at the goalie.
And a really proud moment now for Cumbria's Will Stanway, who replaces Elliot Justin in goal and comes on for the last 12 minutes of this game with England still 1-0 down. But Will Stanway becomes the second member of his family to represent England after his sister Georgia. Francis on the edge of the area is going to try a shot, deflection on it, and it'll spin viciously and go into touch. But England's starting to get, for the first time in the match, Joe, probably on top now.
Yeah, had a little spell of possession, a couple of half chances blocked. I need to see more from the strikers, not done enough for me today. Pearce has been bright since coming on, but McCallum has not done a lot.
We're into the last couple of minutes of added time. There's a ball into the box. Missed, brought down, finished. Oh, brilliant save. It's a terrific effort from Ollie Pearce. And I thought that was in the back of the net, but I underestimated that wonderful save from the Welsh keeper down low to his right, Joe.
Yeah, a really good cross from Gus Scott-Morris. Really good touch from Ollie Pearce, but an even better save from the goalkeeper. It looked as if it was going to be 1-1 there.
And there's the final whistle. Wales have done to England what England did to Wales last year and basically gritted out a 1-0 win. In all truth, England had very few moments. The majority of them probably coming in the final 5 minutes and in added time. Ollie Pearce, a good impact substitute. I honestly thought, Joe, that he had scored. But a wonderful save from the Welsh keeper.
Yeah, and that's ultimately kept them to win the game. Ollie Pearce did really, really well. Just disappointing that we couldn't create more chances. You wouldn't know that we had so many good attacking players on the pitch, because we didn't really cause Wales any problems. Really disappointing.
A few steady performances, one or two disappointing ones. England player of the match for me, tight call. Perhaps not the best set piece deliveries, but other than that, I would say Rhys Smith stood out, and Ollie Pearce when he came on.
yeah, I'd also add Ed Francis into the mix. I thought he was quite tied in midfield. Apart from his delivery from set pieces, probably Reece Smith.
So Wales prevail in their home fixture, something that's becoming a little bit of a pattern in recent years in the fixture between the two countries, which has been played now consecutively over the last 6 years. Thank you so much to England C management team, Paul Fairclough and Mick Payne, for allowing NL Full Time to be a part of the England camp over the last couple of days. Thanks to all the players that we've spoken with during that time. And that includes a couple more that we're going to finish this podcast with. After the game, we caught up with Will Stanway, who represented Chester and was a very proud Barrovian. Will, you got to make your England C debut 12 minutes from time. Proud moment for you. How did you feel?
Yeah, I'm buzzing to make my debut. Very proud moment for me and my family. And I'm glad I've been given the opportunity and it's been a good experience for me.
What on earth was in the water where you grew up? Because obviously yourself now playing for England and your sister Georgia as well. A couple of brothers also sporty and cricket as well.
Yeah, who would have thought 2 years ago I would have made an England cap? But yeah, there's two of us now and hopefully there'll be a couple more, but I can't see it with the other two.
Is it true that you've only literally played in goal for 2 or 3 years?
This will be my third season in net now, so started when I was 19. But before that, yeah, started out field and here I am. I'm happy to be here and I'm enjoying it.
And when you broke the news to your sister, what did she have to say to you?
She was buzzing. She was like everyone else, proud, happy for me. She knows the hard work that's been put in to get to this stage. So hopefully it's a start and hopefully I can kick on from this now.
And there is another England C international in just a couple of months at Aldershot against Nepal. What has the boss said to you guys? Because obviously I would imagine you'd be quite hopeful of being involved again.
Nothing in particular, just it's down to us now, isn't it? Go back to our clubs, keep working hard, keep putting the performances and that can show it for itself, can't it? And hopefully come the 5th or 6th of May, whenever it is, and I'll get a second cap.
That was Will Stanway, and after the game, we also got the word of Ollie Pearce, who's been prolific for Worthing this season, also at step two. I'm joined by Ollie Pearce of Worthing, who had to be patient tonight, but Ollie, you got on for your England C debut and that must have been a proud moment for you.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was a great moment. Obviously, it's a little bit different for me being here with all the full-time lads. I'm still, you know, part-time at Worthing, so the whole experience, you know, the whole 2 or 3 days, has been, a really proud moment for me.
When you did come on, of course, England were 1-0 down. They needed to make something happen. You certainly tried to do that, and you got a couple of efforts away, particularly the one in added time where you must have thought you scored.
Yeah, I don't know how he's clawed that out. It's a great save. Probably should score if I'm being, you know, really critical, really harsh myself. But yeah, it's a great save. And, you know, unfortunately, it didn't hit the back of the net. But that's football, isn't it?
Back for a little while to business at Worthing, and it's going to be an exciting end to the season, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you've got eight tough games to go. Obviously, we're still in a really good position. The last few weeks there has obviously been a bit strange with obviously the manager leaving, but we've got, like I said, tough running, but we'll be looking to get as many points as possible and finish in a really positive position, hopefully in the playoff position. So.
And as far as England C is concerned, it might not be done. I think you've shown really, really well tonight, and there is another game in a couple of months' time, not too far up the road at Aldershot.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know what the squad will be for that, but I just have to, you know, focus on getting back to Worthing and scoring goals like I have done, and fingers crossed, maybe I might get another call up.
Well, congratulations as well on a terrific season. I know it's not done yet, but you're into the 30s for goals, aren't you? Is it your highest scoring season to date or not?
Nah, 37 in the Ryman League. So I've got a few to catch yet. So, yeah, try and finish on obviously as many goals as I can. But I think the important thing is obviously Worthing finishing as high as we possibly can in a positive position for the playoff.
That's it then. Thoroughly enjoyed bringing you this England C podcast special. Have a great footballing weekend ahead. And Luke, play the theme tune.